well, not next week, I won't be here, be on a mission trip, Brother Hagin will have it, but the next week, I want to prep us for chapter number 19 where he says, since you believed, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they said, what Holy Ghost? We've never even heard of the Holy Ghost. What do you mean there's a Holy Ghost? So I want to prep us for that message when that comes. You got to understand the text that we're in and what God will have us to see here. Acts chapter number 18, we're going to begin reading in verse number 24. And it's going to be more of a study tonight. I pray it will be. It'll be whatever God will have it to be. Amen. But I want to share this. There's more to the story. There's just more to the story than can meet the eye. As Brother Tony has just spoke, it went well with what I'm going to be teaching tonight. There's more to the story. When you get saved, there's more to it than just being saved. As you walk with Christ Jesus and as you grow with Christ, you're going to see a lot more that He does and how He just magnifies Himself in your life. And He does that through the Holy Ghost. You know what the Holy Ghost does? He don't do nothing but point to Jesus. When you get wound up in the Holy Ghost and it's all Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Wait a minute, back up, wait a minute. His job, He said He's going to come to comfort us, to teach us, and to lead us into all righteousness. But He ain't going to do nothing but take that one finger and point us straight to Jesus Christ. So, here tonight, there's more to the story, and that's what I want to show you tonight. If you'll just bear with me. Acts chapter number 18, verse number 24. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. I'm going to share this with you. There's more to the story. Acts 18, verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. And there's more to the story. But he only knew the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews in that publicly showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, it's so good to be in your house. As a pastor tonight, I thank you for the fellowship we had before the service ever started. Lord, I thank you tonight for the Holy Ghost of heaven, how when it comes in like a mighty rushing wind, that it points us straight to Jesus. Lord, I pray tonight that you just be with the next few moments of these words, be with all the prayer requests, be with the ones that's lost loved ones, be with the ones that, Father, that just needs a touch physical tonight. But Lord, I pray for the one spiritually that needs a touch from heaven. Lord, I pray tonight for this church and everybody that's in here tonight and the ones that couldn't come. Lord, I pray you touch them in a mighty way tonight as well. Oh, Father, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for Calvary and I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Have your way in the next few moments. Lord, you speak to your people. And let what I say be clear. Let it be correct, and let it come straight from the throne room of heaven. Lord, your will be done in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said. You may be seated tonight. As we come tonight at the text, and we read it tonight, and we stay with the text tonight, we meet a man named Apollos tonight. And if you're taking notes, I want to look at Apollos before we go very far. We meet a man named Apollos tonight. And we'll see that he was willing to learn that there's more. He was willing to learn that there was more. I read in the text tonight in verse number 24 about Apollos. And I read tonight that he was a very educated man. But I read tonight in verse 24 that he was born at Alexandria. And you say, preacher, what would be the big deal about that? That was a major Jewish city that expounded greatly in the Old Testament. This man was no He was a man that knew what was going on. And the Bible also says that Apollos was born at Alexander, and he was an eloquent man. That would mean that he was an educated man. He was a great public speaker. He would deliver a message that would move people. He was great in the Old Testament. He was educated, and he could speak very good publicly. And the Bible also says that this man was mighty in the Scriptures. That meant that he knew them very well, and he could explain them to the T. You could take him anywhere in the Old Testament. He could explain to you the Old Testament. He could explain to you what was going on, and you would understand when he got done teaching you about the Bible. I see also it says that he was mighty in the Scriptures, and he came to Ephesus. And this man, talking about Apollos, he was instructed in the way of the Lord. That means this, that he was instructed in exactly how to explain the Word of God. The Bible also says, though, that he was fervent in the Spirit. That means this, when you've seen this man, he was on fire for God. He wasn't no icicle, but he was on fire for God and loved what God had called him to do. Turn with me as we're studying this to Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 11 tonight. We see that Apollos realized tonight that he was a man of God doing the will of God, doing what he knew to do. He was an educated man. He was very eloquent. He was mighty in the Scriptures. He was instructed by the way of God. He was fervent, or he was on fire for God. And we read tonight in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 11, and this would be the man Apollos tonight. This could be said about him. He was not slothful in business. When you've seen him, you knew that he was a man of God. He was fervent in spirit, and he served the Lord. And I love that tonight. He was on fire for God, and he served the Lord. And he taught diligently, the Bible says here. Not only was he fervent in spirit, but he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. And I'm going somewhere with this because I want you to get this. He taught diligently. He was accurate in what he taught. What he taught with the Scriptures, he was accurate, and he was right on the money. But here was what was going on. And I love this in the text in verse number 25. But he only knew the baptism of John. Knowing only the baptism of John. I told you we're working up to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So he only knew the baptism of John. And knowing the baptism of John, you say, preacher, what is knowing the baptism of John? Here it is. Knowing the baptism of John is this, that John preached baptism for repentance. When he was out in the wilderness in the book of Matthew, you know what he did. He called for them to come out, and he wanted them to repent. And when they would repent, here's what they would do. They would be baptized, because that showed that they believed this, that the baptism of repentance, they were looking forward to Jesus, who was important to the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come. So Apollos was still an Old Testament convert. He was still, even though he's in the New Testament, at this time he was still preaching something in the old, something before Christ Jesus. He was preaching the baptism of repentance and John, when John was out in the wilderness. And you know what John said? John said, I must decrease and he must increase. So I know when Jesus came on the scene, even though they was baptizing for repentance there, it was showing that they believed that Jesus Christ was coming. He's still preaching this even though Jesus has came, even though he had died, he was buried, and that he rose again. He was still preaching that baptism of repentance. And today, can I say to you, we don't get baptized for the baptism of repentance. Amen. I want to slow this down, because I want you to understand tonight why you get baptized and why he was preaching the baptism of repentance. But tonight, if you'll turn with me to Matthew, holding your place in Acts, to Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 11 tonight. I love what this says tonight in the Bible. Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 11. He was still preaching the baptism of John and what John was doing. And you know what John said. He came before Jesus. He came, he was preparing the way. He was setting things in order. But in Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 11 tonight, here's what the Bible says. And here's how I know that he only knew the baptism of John, but he was preaching what he knew. I say to you tonight, there's some preachers, they're going to preach what they know, and that's all they can preach. I say to you tonight, as your pastor, I can only preach what I know. I can't preach what I don't know. When the Holy Ghost reveals it to me and he shows me what the Lord wants me to know, then I can get deeper. But I want you to know there's not no commentary. There's not nothing but the Holy Ghost of heaven. When it reveals to you what goes on in your life, then you can dig deeper and you can go deeper. But tonight in Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 11, there's more to the story. And here's how I know that. Look in verse number 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. That time in their life when they repented, it showed that they had repentance in their life and they was looking to Jesus to come. Can I say to you tonight, I'm not looking for Him to come. I know He's done came. Amen. I'm not waiting on the resurrection. I've met the resurrection. Jesus asked her and said, do you know not that I'm the resurrection and the life? Friends, this afternoon, I want you to know I may get put in a box before He comes, but I'm not dead. I'm alive. Amen. Because I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Look what He says here. I indeed baptize. This is John talking. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me, that being Jesus Christ, He said there's one coming after me, and that's the one that you're going to have to get to know. That's the one that's going to change your life. That's the one that's going to set you free. That's the one that's going to put a Holy Ghost inside of you and not on you. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. He's talking about Jesus, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. John said, I can't bear the shoes that he wears. He said, I can't tote the cross that he totes. He said, all I know is I'm the forerunner. I've come before him preparing the way. But when he comes, he's not going to baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen? Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you ever been there? Amen. Hey, you've been there. You know what it is to be baptized with the Holy Ghost tonight, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. And here he is. He shall, not maybe, not the Baptist, not the Pentecostal, not the Church of Christ. He said, whoever calls on the name of Jesus Christ and they get saved, they're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He's going to come inside of you and he's going to indwell that believer. He's going to set a fire down in you that will be kindled in your life all the days of your life. Amen. He says this, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He said there's going to be a fire that gets down in your bones. There's going to be a fire that gets down in your soul. And he said that's the baptism tonight that God's going to do when he saves your soul. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 4. I want to back up this baptism that we do tonight. In Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 4 tonight, I want to share this with you. Okay, so he was preaching the baptism of John. That's what he was preaching. That's what he was teaching. But now, because Jesus Christ has bled and died on an old rugged cross, buried in a tomb, rose again on the third day, we don't preach that baptism of repentance. We preach believers' baptism. Amen? Does everybody understand that? We don't preach baptism of repentance. That water don't do nothing. Can I get a witness? Now let me back it up. It doesn't do nothing with your salvation to Christ Jesus. That water is the first act of obedience when you've been saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you go in that water and you expect it to cleanse your sins and to set you new and to set you free, you went in as a sinner and you're coming out as a sinner, nothing will change if you're betting on that water. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that saves you from your sin. And tonight we teach and we preach believers' baptism. After you've been saved, then you are baptized. Amen. Let me show you this tonight. Here's what he was preaching, the baptism of John. And hey, they said, listen here, man, that's something new. You need to get a hold of this. There's something new. There's more to the story. You need to get a hold of this. Look what he says in Romans 6:4. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death. I will not be little baptism. If a person is saved and they're physically able to get into the water, they've got no ailments, they can get into the water, I encourage them. And the first thing I tell anybody that is born again, you need to be baptized as soon as possible. You don't need to put it off. You don't need to wait. You need to be baptized. That's going to show that you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. It's going to be a public confession for all to see. He says, therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life.
And that's why we get baptized, is to show the world that we're baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection. We're not ashamed of Him, but we love Him and what He does in our life. So that's why we preach believer's baptism. That's why we preach that and we teach that tonight. When somebody gets saved, they should be baptized. Apollos' message, let me give you this tonight as we get back to the text. His message wasn't inaccurate. It wasn't inaccurate. What he knew was accurate. He was teaching what he knew. It wasn't inaccurate. It was just incomplete. There's more to the story. It wasn't inaccurate. It just was incomplete. Have you ever had somebody tell you the story and they just told you part of the story, but they didn't tell you all of the story? It wasn't inaccurate. He was preaching the truth. He was preaching what he knew, but it was incomplete. He didn't know the rest of the story. Can I say to you tonight, you and I know the rest of the story. We got the book in front of us. We know the rest of the story. And go with me right here. And he began to speak, knowing only in verse number 25, knowing only the baptism of John, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, who then Aquila and Priscilla had heard. They heard his preaching. They heard his teaching. Okay? Here it is. And they took him unto them. He had a teachable spirit. He was not at the point that he was a know-it-all. He was eloquent, he was smart, he was mighty in the scriptures, he was bold, he done what he's supposed to do. But when somebody told him, hey, there's more to the story, but you're not telling it all, why don't you come over here, I want to tell you something. I want to give you a little something, amen? I want to give you a little, and here's what they did. Look what they did here. And they began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom then Aquila and Priscilla had heard. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Just more perfectly. They just expounded on it. They gave it to him in a way that he could understand it and said, listen, what you're teaching ain't wrong, but it ain't the full story. It ain't all of it. There's more to the story tonight. And look here what he says here. When Aquila and Priscilla helped him, thank God for helpers in our life. Amen? They told him the rest of the story. Let me show you what they told him here. Look with me in verse 27. And when he was disposed or was supposed to pass into Caia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. So tonight, when they got there and they said there's more to the story, they wanted him to know that there's more about the scriptures. There was more to be told. There was more about the salvation that he was preaching and he was teaching. There was more about the Savior. And you say, what more can you give about Jesus Christ? Grace. They said, I want you to know about grace and grace alone. I want you to know about grace and what grace will do in a person's life. And as we get into chapter 19 in a couple weeks, I want you to know this tonight. There's some people believe in a twofold baptism. They believe in a twofold baptism. They believe in water baptism, and then they believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptism in the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues and utterance that cannot be understood. But tonight, I want you to know this. When a person gets saved, you say, preacher, do you believe this? This is in my soul and it's in my bones. Amen? And it's in the Bible. No matter if it's in your bones, if it's in the Bible. Amen? When a person gets saved, you get all of the Holy Ghost you're ever going to get. Woo! He comes inside. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. He's not a big Holy Ghost. He's not a little Holy Ghost. He's not a black Holy Ghost. He's not a white Holy Ghost. He's not an American Holy Ghost, a Mexican Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost of heaven, amen? And He is a He. He's a person. He is part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's who He is. And when a person gets saved, that Holy Spirit indwells them. He comes inside of them, and He lives inside of them. You don't get saved today and then wait on the Holy Ghost to come to you and then baptize you in the Holy Ghost. When you get saved, you receive the Spirit of God right then. If not, you cannot be saved. If the Spirit of God does not come inside of you, you're not saved. So if a person is sitting here waiting on a second baptism, waiting on that second baptism of the Holy Ghost to come inside of them so they can speak in tongues and do things of difference, I want you to know tonight they're still lost. Preacher, you believe that? I believe that. A person can't be saved without the Spirit of God. When they get saved, the Spirit of God does not rest on them as in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God comes inside of them and it takes up residency on the inside of that person. And at that moment, when that Spirit comes inside of them, they become a new person, a new creation in Christ Jesus. You say, preacher, what happens then? The problem is not how much of the Holy Ghost we get, but how much the Holy Ghost gets of us. The surrender we have to Him. That's when you realize how big He really is and how He really points you to God. Amen? You've heard the Holy Ghost in your life. If you've been saved, you've heard Him, because you couldn't be saved if you hadn't heard Him. When He knocks on that heart's door, you may not have heard Him audibly with this ear, but with your heart, you heard Him. That's why you got saved. He's knocking on your heart's door. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to be washed in the blood of Jesus. Not one time did he tell you to go be baptized in water. What did he tell you to do? You need to be saved. You need to repent. Call on the name of the Lord. Repent of your sins. Turn. Let him come into your heart and save you. And at that moment, what did you do? You got down on your knees or you bowed your head. You did wherever you was at. You admitted that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You believed that with all your heart, not only with the mind, but with the heart. You asked him to come into your life. You repent. He saved you. Now you're a new person. What happened? You got saved. You got born again. Why? Because of the Spirit of God. And that's what he told him. He said, it's by grace what's going on in your life. It's by grace what's happening. And you need to teach that. You need to, people understand that it's the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. He don't live inside of you today and gone tomorrow. When you ask him to save you, he comes on the inside of a person. Amen? He comes on the inside of that individual tonight. And folks, tonight I want you to know, you hear him, but you have the opportunity to ignore him. Have you ever been in a room with your spouse? Before I ask a question, have you ever been in a room with your spouse? Come on. Everybody's been in the room with their spouse. Brother Zach, get your hand up. Now, Brother Zach, you're going to have to answer this one now. And you've been in the room with your spouse, and she's talking 90 to nothing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And then you're sitting there, and she says, hey. And you say, yeah. Are you listening? Yeah, I'm listening. What'd I just say? You say, huh? What I just say? And she says, you said you was listening. And you say, well, just tell me. You know I wasn't listening. Just tell me. See, that's how the Spirit of God is. He's sitting in the room with you right now. If you're saved, he's sitting here with you. If you're saved and you go down to the honky-tonk and go down and get your old Budweiser and get it on the bar with you, if you're saved, he's there with you. He's there with you. Adrian Rogers said that he had a deacon one time, and I've heard this story many times it was told, and said that he had went by a tavern and seen his car out there at the tavern, and said a couple weeks later he got in church and he seen his deacon. He said, you won't believe what I seen. And he told the tavern that he was at and that he had seen. And he said, I went by that tavern, and you wouldn't believe who I seen sitting on the bar stool. He said, who, preacher? He said, the Holy Ghost of heaven sitting on that bar stool. He said, preacher, that ain't no way. He don't just come out. When you do wrong, he's still on the inside. That's why it bothers you when you do wrong. That's why there's conviction when you do wrong. That's why that's stirring in your life when it ain't right. And he wants you to get it right because he's living inside of you. And all you're doing is suppressing him and putting him down. And he's the best friend you got. He's the only person in your life will tell you the truth and lead you right. And not lead you on opinion, but will lead you on fact. And we ignore him. We do away with him, and what we should do is be accepting him. Say, Lord, I know you got the Spirit of God living inside of me, your Spirit living inside of me, and I want to do what you called me to do. By your grace, he's still inside of me. By your love, your mercy, and your grace, he lives inside of me. So tonight, I see that here he is. I want to expound on this and let you know what's going on. It is by grace tonight. There's more to the story. There is grace, which had believed through grace. He said, I want you to go. I want you to help him. And what gets me tonight, when Aquila and Priscilla helped Apollos, you know what he did? He wouldn't help the next man. He wouldn't help the next man. I'll never forget, I was talking to an individual, and I told him, I said, hey, great godly man. I mean, great godly man. And he said, man, I tell you what. I said, boy, I tell you what, I can't wait to get to heaven. Can you? He said, man, I hope I make it. I said, man, what are you talking about? I hope you make it. He said, man, I ain't never spoken tongues. I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven or not. I said, man, that's not a qualification. That's not a qualification to get to heaven. Qualify you to get to heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't confuse it. It's not water baptism. It's the blood of Jesus tonight. There's more to the story. It's the blood of Jesus. If it's got to be any kind of work or anything else a person does, it is not of it's grace and grace alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, but it is a gift of God. So let me get on with this, and I'll share this with you. I see this tonight that he expounded more about Scripture, more about salvation, more about the Savior. He told him it was grace. And let me give you this tonight as we go on to verse number 28 and right there. The Savior had come. Look, for he mightily convinced the Jews. What he heard them tell, they believed it. And he mightily convinced the Jews. And here's what he convinced them. And publicly he did it. He didn't hold back what he believed. What he was told, he didn't hold back. Showing by the Scriptures. Boy, ain't that good. Showing by the Scriptures tonight. Showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. He said, what you're preaching and what you're teaching, the baptism of John, was pointing that you believe the Messiah was coming. Right? He came and walked 33 years amongst them, and they're still looking for him. Today, they're still looking for him. Folks, he's done came. He bled and died on that cross to save us of our sin. And people try to put salvation in all kinds of things. Salvation tonight is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. That's it. That's it. Hey, I thank God for somebody that's saved that's got good works. Man, I want you to know tonight, church attendance won't get you to heaven, but I thank God for faithful people. Amen. I mean, I know if you come every day all year long, that don't mean that you've gained anything with God, but as a pastor, I like seeing people as faithful to the house of God, but that won't save you. That won't save you. What saves me, preacher? For by grace are you saved through faith. It's grace tonight. The Savior had come, he said, showing them by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. What'd they show him? I want to share this with you tonight. That he paid the price on the cross and arose from the grave. He said, what you're preaching now, you're preaching that he's going to come. You're preaching something old, but the news doesn't come. You got a hold of something old and the news is going to come. The Savior had come. He paid the price on the cross and rose from the grave. And the Holy Spirit had been given and indwells believers. Tonight, can I say to you, when he got a hold of that, he went to work with that, with what he received. What he received tonight, he went to work with. Tonight, don't you say, who is this Apollos? Who is this man of God? Who is this tonight? I want to take you with me tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, if you would, in verse number 6. A very, very familiar verse. You're going to know it as soon as you get there. Paul came and is teaching. And you say, I know Paul, but what about Apollos? Who's Apollos? Was the work he was doing to begin with, was it foolish? No. There was just more to the story. There was more to it. And look what he says tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 in verse number 6. You ever heard of Apollos before? Look what he says. Paul says, I've planted. Hey, I've been planting seeds about the grace of God. I've been planting the word. What did Apollos do? Well, he rooted them up. He rooted them up. He said, what Paul's teaching is wrong. Paul said, I've planted and Apollos has watered. Did he believe what they taught? Yes. He come right up behind him. Paul said, I've planted and Apollos has watered. He's come right in there, Brother Roy, with the grace of God. All he knew was the baptism of John, but he got a hold of this thing called grace. He got a hold of what God can do in his life and that the Holy Ghost can live inside of him. And you know what he did? He went around watering them seeds that I'd done been planted. But you know what? Keep reading with me. I want to give you this. I've planted, Apollos watered, but God. Can I say to you, but God tonight? There's more to the story, but God, what he can do in your life. But God gave the increase. Look at verse 7. So neither he is he that planteth anything. Man, does the planting ain't nothing. He can use me to plant a seed. He can use you. And if you don't want to be used, he won't have to use you. He's got somebody that'll plant. Amen? Storms plant seeds, by the way. You don't believe it? There's people give their life to Jesus when a whole town gets blown away by a storm. Sickness plants seeds. If somebody get eat up with a disease, family members will start getting saved. He can use anything to plant a seed. Can I say to you tonight, he can use anything to water that seed. He likes to use me and you. But if I'm not surrendered to what he's called me to do, he'll pass me right on by, even though that Holy Ghost lives inside of me. If I got that old sour attitude, he's not going to let me witness to nobody, Brother Roy. He ain't going to let me go in there and water something with poison. He said he watered, not killed. He watered it. He's not going to let me go in there with Roundup when somebody's needing water. Whew. So neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth is anything. But God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So I see tonight that grace of God, Apollos was a man that knew a lot about the Bible, knew a lot, but he got introduced to the Spirit of God. I want to leave you with this tonight. The Holy Ghost is your friend. And thank God for the rest of the story and how the Holy Ghost gives you confirmation in your life.
I started off tonight with my message of this, is the Holy Ghost never is, never, nowhere in the Bible does he desire to be worshipped. The Holy Ghost of heaven always points you to Jesus. He always points, he's your comfort, he's your guide. He's what lives inside. And Jesus said, if I don't go, he won't come. Who is that? That's the Holy Ghost of heaven. You won't know how many people I talk to on a daily basis that's waiting on the Holy Ghost. They're waiting on to receive something. And I say, are you saved? They say, yeah. I say, you got it. You've got it. Use it. You've got him. Use him. I got a different truck that the Lord blessed me with out there. And it's got so many bells and whistles on it, and I don't even use half of them. But the other day we was in there, and I told Brandy, I said, I think this phone ties into that radio, but I ain't for sure, but I think it does. And I wanted to tie into it going down the road, Miss Patsy. I want to tie into it flying down the road doing my own thing. But you know what? That thing won't let you do it the way you want to do it. You got to put it in park. Sit down and listen. Man, that spoke to me. She said, put it in park. I said, put it in park? I said, yeah, I got an 82 model at the house. I ain't used to fancy. I put that thing up in park. Throwed up a code up there, 86-something. Do you want to pair this together? We paired that baby together. Every time I get in my truck now, I'm confused because my phone goes to my radio. So you know who my guinea pig was to make sure it worked good? Raise your hand. Mama. I called Mama. I said, hey, Mama. She said, what are you hollering for? I said, can you hear me? She said, loud and clear, I can hear you. I said, well, this radio in my truck is hooked to it, and I was just making sure. See, I couldn't see it. Huh? I couldn't see it. I wasn't used to it. I didn't know if it worked when I called on it, Brother John. I didn't know if that spirit inside, I didn't know if it really worked when I called on it. Can I say to you tonight, when I got saved, the Holy Ghost of heaven come inside of me, and I know that spirit's there, and when I need him, I can call on him, and he works. He comes alive. He gives me what I need. He gives me the fire when I need the fire. He gives me the power when I need the power. He gives me what I need when I need it. That's what he's telling. He said, tell them there's something that lives inside of them. There's more to the story. If you're saved tonight and you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you've repented of your sins and asked him to come into your life, the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. You won't believe what all you got on inside of you that you ain't used. I believe when a man gets saved, he receives the Holy Ghost, and there's gifts that come with that. I'm not going to argue that a bit. But you listen to me tonight, I ain't waiting on nothing. I've got all I need, amen? I'm not waiting on nothing tonight. When Jesus Christ saved my soul from a devil's hell, he put something inside of me, and that was his spirit. And it lives on the inside of me tonight. And I know when I grieve him, and I know when I don't grieve him. But just like that radio on my phone, now when I crank my truck, Brother John, I don't. You know what? You know what the amazing thing is? That thing don't disconnect. It remembers me when I get in there. It remembers me. Why? Because it's inside. Tonight, the Holy Spirit knows you, knows who you are, and it lives. He lives inside of you tonight. He said, preacher, I don't know how much power I really got. The one that created the universe is living inside of you. That's a pretty good bit of power. Preacher, I don't know how much strength I got. The one that took his hand and scooped out the mountains lives inside of you. That's a pretty good bit of power. Preacher, I don't know how much power. The one that told the ocean, hey, you can't come no further. You got to stop. That's a pretty good bit of power that lives inside of you. He said, preacher, I don't know how much more I can handle. The one that told the storm to be still lives inside of you. Have you ever rebuked a storm in the name of Jesus? Last night, we was at a store. I won't call the store because you might know. Y'all don't think we're crazy. And we went to go out, and this lady said, Brother BJ, I said, yeah, what's going on? She said, can I talk to you and your wife for just a minute? I said, yeah, what is it? And y'all going to know where I'm going with this. She said, do you think demons are real? I looked at Brandy. Brandy looked at me. Before I could say anything, the Holy Ghost raised up inside her, and she said, 3 Wednesday nights ago, we had a study on demons. Yes, they're real according to the Bible. They got names. Right? They can talk. They can get on you. But we told that woman, if you're saved, they can't get in you.
Is that not good? Because there's something that lives inside of you and there's no room for nothing else when you let him have full control. Tonight I want to tell you there's more to the story. Next, when we get back in here, verse 19, we're going to talk about it. It says, since you've been saved, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they said, we didn't know there's such thing as the Holy Ghost. So they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in tongues. And I'm going to discuss that next week and when we're back on a Wednesday night. But tonight I want you to know something. If you're saved, you're not waiting on nothing. You got all you need. Just start using it. Just start using it. My truck's got a V8 in it, but it kicks back the 4-cylinder. Save me on a little bit of gas. But when I need it, the power's there. Tonight you might be running on 4-cylinder, but the power's there. All you got to do is tap into it. Y'all heard that song we had on earlier? 5 o'clock the other morning? I'm telling y'all this. I woke up and I was in, Brother Joy, I was just in, oh, gutter. You ever been in the gutter? I woke up in the gutter, man. Felt like just, I got the power of God living inside of me, and I felt like a just nothing. And I remember that song Brandy had played on her phone. I feel a little song coming on. And I got listening to that at 5 o'clock in the morning. Brandy done gone to work. Kaylee and Ryder's in the bed. I got listening to that. Well, I got listening to it again. About 25 times, man, I was ready to go. And I just kept listening to it, and that spirit started rising up inside of me. I got to sing a little bit in Limerick. Y'all do that, don't you? If you don't, try it. Boy, you'd be surprised what'll come out of you. Huh? Man, I got listening to that song. Got a little, I feel a song coming on. That thing started rising up inside of me. Next thing I know, I started sending it out to people in the church that I had in my phone. If you didn't get it, I probably don't have you in my phone. And you know what I did when I started sending that out? I didn't send it out to just individuals. I sent it out to couples, husbands and wives. I put them together. If I had your number, I'd put you together. Husband, if I had your number. Tried my best. Got a little feeling. Felt a little song coming on. That thing started rising up in me. And by 5:40, I couldn't even remember why I was feeling bad. Because I let something greater than me come out of me. And his name's Jesus, the Holy Spirit of heaven. And my prayer to you is this. Don't you get down. Don't you get down and out. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Man, I thank God for what he's done in my life. I thank God for what he's done in your life. And man, there's some great days ahead of us. Amen. Tonight, if you say, preacher, I don't know. There's more to the story. Just start rebuking it in Jesus' name. The lady did say this last night, and I'm going to close. She said, and I also heard somebody say that if you'll take salt, them demons can't come. I told her, I said, hon, that salt won't do you a bit of good. It's going to cost you money. The only thing they're going to flee at is the name of Jesus. Tonight, the only thing your problems are going to flee at is at the name of Jesus. Father, I love you and I thank you tonight. I thank you that there's more to the story. I thank you tonight that we're only saved by grace tonight. I thank you tonight that the Holy Ghost of heaven lives inside of us tonight. We're filled with the Spirit of God tonight. You live inside of us. Father God, tonight I understand we can quench the Spirit, Father, tonight. I understand that tonight. But I know tonight that you live inside of me and every believer tonight. And Lord, I pray right now that when we walk out of this place, that we're not waiting. We're relying on what you can do. Satan's got us waiting. He's got us thinking we got to wait all the time. And Lord God, you're living right inside of us. And you got the power to stop some of this going on in our lives. If we'll just open our mouth and rebuke it in the name of Jesus and praise our way out. Father, I love you and I thank you. I ask you to bless it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.